What is up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Self Help Witch. Self Help Witch is a podcast and a YouTube channel all about astrology and self-awareness. On Self Help Witch, we like to explore how to use astrology as a modality to go deeper into knowing who you are, because when you know yourself, you can be yourself and free yourself to live your best damn life. I'm Dana, I'm your host, I'm an astrologer, I'm a teacher, and I am coming to you here on a lovely Sunday morning in the Midwest, looking out at the fall foliage out of my window. It's great to be here with you. I am so excited to share today's episode with you. This is an interview with Ash Gravity, who is an ancestral astrologer. Truly, I have been waiting to share this with you for like 6 months. I reached out to Ash probably in April or May when I saw their handle on a platform we both use, and I saw the phrase ancestral astrology. I was like, I need to know this person. I need to interview them. So I reached out to them and we talked in August, but I wanted to save this talk for October because we are in the ancestor season. Samhain's approaching, and it's that time of year where a lot of us reflect on our ancestry, our family patterns, and things like this. So the episode came at the perfect time, even though I was chomping at the bit to get it to you. So we're going to dig into all things ancestral astrology today. Ash is going to share their story about how they kind of discovered their modality for practicing ancestral astrology, some really helpful tips for what you can do on your own to begin to research family patterns using your birth chart. Now, Ash is going to talk about a lot of their offers in the episode because they just kind of naturally come up as we're talking about the different elements of ancestral astrology. But I want you to go to their website, ashgravity.com, or check them out on Instagram, at ashgravity, if the phrase ancestral astrology piques your interest. They have so many amazing offerings, and they're constantly putting out new things. So whether you want a one-on-one consult or a self-paced class or a past life regression, hypnosis experience, like, they offer so many incredible things. And again, you're going to hear about a lot of them in the episode, but definitely run, don't walk to ashgravity.com and check out their work because they've got a lot of incredible things going on that will help you heal with astrology. So life's been nuts. You guys know I'm pregnant. You know I'm a teacher. Parent-teacher conferences are happening next week. So yeah, a lot happening over here. But more exciting for you is that I've been redoing my website. It's finally up. I'm really proud of it. It looks really beautiful. And I have two things I want to share with you about what's new on the website. The first is I made a new free guide called the Birth Chart Blueprint. And now this is going to lay out three simple steps you can use to interpret any astrology chart without having to Google stuff. Because let's be real, when you're doing your own astrology research, there's all these rabbit holes and you end up looking up this and looking up that. And it's really easy to kind of lose focus on what you're even doing. So what I wanted to do with this blueprint is give you a one-stop shop for not just reference materials of like how to read a birth chart, what did the planet signs and houses represent, things like that. That's in there. But I'm also giving you my process, my three steps that I take to synthesize the information in the chart. You can get that for free on my website. You can also just type in selfhelpwitch.com/BC blueprint. I will put that in the show notes. The second thing I want to make sure you know about is I am prepping to do a Black Friday sale. Really, really excited about this because I'm going to have several offers for you guys. I'm not going to lay out all the details yet, but I'm going to tell you that there's four. One is a VIP ticket to my 2023 astrology forecast event. My second offering is a 2023 Cosmic Witch Astrology Almanac. The third offering is a self-paced course called Transit Translator. And then last but not least, I'm offering a top three transits for 2023 mini reading. If you want to make sure you are notified as soon as details drop about this, because my email list will know about this first, go to selfhelpwitch.com/Black Friday and you will see a place where you can quickly enter your email, and that way you will be the first to know more details about these offers and the really amazing price that they're going to be offered at for Black Friday. So that's selfhelpwitch.com/BC Blueprint to get the free birth chart blueprint guide. That's going to help you get to know your birth chart, and it will also help you with all the stuff we're talking about in the episode today regarding planetary rulerships, what certain planets mean, what the different houses mean, all that good stuff. And then selfhelpwitch.com/Black Friday to sign up to be notified when all of the details about these amazing Black Friday offers will be live. Okay, without any further ado, let's get into this amazing conversation with Ash Gravity.
I've been waiting for this conversation for so long. This is honestly like one of the things that drew me to astrology initially. I was so curious about how maybe I could see patterns in my chart with my family members. And I know you have such a cool intersection with how you use astrology and how you work with astrology, like with family systems and hypnotherapy. And like, it's checking all my boxes. So I would love to hear more about how you work with astrology and how you kind of came to where you are with your practice.
Yeah, I totally resonate. So I am an ancestral astrologer. That's the name I've landed on for, I think, best describes the work that I do. But very much like you, when I first got into, well, I've been into astrology since I was a child. So my mom was into astrology, so I grew up reading horoscopes, and you know, we had like the horoscope books around the house and stuff like that, even though I grew up on a farm in the middle of Iowa. Weird, not expected intersection. But when I was in my 20s, I really started to get more into astrology, like a lot of people did, you know, in the 2010s. And I was going through a breakup. And so I was really trying to figure out how to use my chart to just like understand myself better. And I got a reading from another astrologer who told me like, you know, lots of interesting things about my personality and all of this kind of stuff. And I was like, how do I use this to be better in relationships specifically? At that point in my life was where I was really struggling. And I saw this symbol in my chart, and it's called Chiron. And it was right on my ascendant. And I have a Cancer moon, a Cancer rising, and I had Chiron in Cancer. So I was like, okay, I know from the books that this is a mother wound, but I have a great relationship with my mom. So what's the deal? And that really sparked my curiosity into what was this Chiron wound all about? How was it showing up in my life? And I just really wanted to know more. And I was having a really hard time finding information beyond just like, what is the Chiron wound all about? And I really was not satisfied with the little paragraph, you know, that I was getting in the books. Mm-hmm. Around that same time, I read this book called It Didn't Start With You. And this book tells, yeah, have you read this book?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Like, It Didn't Start With You. And it all just started coming together to me based on the little bit that I knew about my grandma and my grandma's relationship to her mom. I was like, this Chiron wound, it's not just about me and my mom. It's about my mom and her mom. And her mom and her mom. And that just kind of sparked this fascination with how our family shows up in our charts. And then on top of that, I have a Capricorn sun. I have 5 planets in Capricorn. So with all of the Capricorn in Cancer, that's often considered to be the axis of parents and family. So I just, you know, it's in my chart, you know, literally the fascination with how astrology relates to our family was something that, you know, I just could not stop wanting to know more about. And then when I work with clients, I just saw it over and over again, how much this was showing up in people's charts.
That is so fascinating. I mean, I love how you First of all, you're so right about the keyword and the little blips that we get. It's like they're breadcrumbs that help us expand the perspective and like ask the right questions to go deeper, right? But that's just like the starting point. And how your chart kind of indicated something that was not necessarily just about you, but about the context you were born in. I think you posted about this recently too, and it's something I talk about a lot as well, that like your chart is actually not just about your psychology. It can totally give you information about that, but it sounds like it really gave you a lot of insight into your, not just your family, but like the world around you as well.
Absolutely. And for me, one of the biggest change to the game for me was I started studying traditional Hellenistic astrology. And in traditional Hellenistic astrology, it's not about the psychology at all, actually. That's not a focus of it. The focus of traditional Hellenistic astrology is the person and their place within the world. And one of the concepts in that system of astrology is that every house, which houses are just like an area of your life. So there's like a house that has to do with money, a house that has to do with relationships. Each of those houses has one planet that's in charge of it. And that's called the planetary ruler of the house. And I work a lot with planetary rulers because it's where we can see where some of the conditioning, where did some of the inherited conditioning come from? Because all of the planets in your chart not only represent an aspect of who you are, but they represent people in your life and they represent aspects of society. And so you can see where you've inherited these conditions or this conditioned way of thinking into very specific parts of your life. And some of that has to do with intergenerational patterns. Some of that has to do with just capitalism and patriarchy. But it's interesting because it was not a concept that had any relevance really to psychological astrology. It's something that often isn't even considered in psychological astrology, but it's so profoundly helpful, especially for people who are using their chart to understand more about their family and how they can go through a deconditioning process.
That is like endlessly fascinating. We could talk just about how rulerships indicate inherited kind of conditioning, I think, for the rest of this episode. I'd never heard that before. I also studied Hellenistic astrology, and I agree that planetary rulerships, it's really like the key to going deeper, I think, because when you synthesize the house, the sign, and the planets that are in there, like it's almost like not enough. Like it is a ton of information on its own, but you kind of need that, like, who's in charge here? The planetary ruler, right? Like it gives you so much more depth. How did you come to realize that we can understand kind of inherited patterns through the planetary ruler?
That's a great question. And I don't know that I have like a very specific example, but I think for me, I noticed it the most with my eighth house. Because the eighth house is often considered to be the house of inheritances. And we normally think of inheritances as money you inherit, property you inherit, things like that. So coming from a family that owns, quote unquote, owns land in Iowa, I have some planets in my eighth house. And so when you look in the books, it's like, oh, this person might inherit wealth. This person might inherit property. And I'm like, okay, I guess that makes sense. As an only child, I know this about myself already. But I actually have Aquarius on my eighth house and I'm gay. And actually, around this very same period of time I was talking about earlier, I was learning more about my Chiron word and I was learning more about inherited family patterns. I learned that there were members of my family who had actually been institutionalized for being gay. And this was like a family secret, basically. And it's not something my family members wouldn't put it this way, but this is absolutely what happened. And so I could see that there was this like inherited family pattern around being othered and specifically around being queer, which Venus and Aquarius is often relevant to people who have queer identities. And that made me really curious about this because I could see that it was related to one part of my family specifically. And that was the family, that was the part of my family that had these queer ancestors. And so that really got me curious, you know? And so then I started applying it to other people's charts, and I could see over and over again that this would be true. And you would maybe bring up to somebody, oh, have you had in your family like loss of a child, maybe in like a past generation? And a lot of times people wouldn't know because there are these family secrets. And then they would come back to me months later and say, actually, I did some looking into that, and that's true. And so you could see these things that you might not know, you might not realize about your family, but they're very much present in your own chart. It comes up a lot around religion and different religious experiences. Even if somebody's not grown up Catholic, you can see that inherited belief system within their chart. If their grandparents were Catholic and were very religious, how that shaped their parents and then how their parents shaped them, even though they weren't in the church themselves.
Wow. So you brought up the eighth house. If someone was like, hey, what can you tell me about my family? That's a place I would look, in the fourth house. But like with the individual planets, you can see things going on too with the family. Is that kind of what you're saying as well?
Absolutely. So one of the first places I look, of course, is the ascendant. So what is your rising sign? And then the planet that is the ruling planet of your rising sign. So I think I saw that you're a Libra rising. So then your Venus is obviously going to be very important in your chart. So it will not only be important just in understanding you and what your life is going to focus on, but there will also be probably some kind of inherited family pattern related to that planet. So then what I do is I look at what's with Venus and who is Venus answering to. And I work with different centaurs specifically, which Chiron is a centaur. And I work with a lot of different centaurs and asteroids to see, is there anyone hanging out with Venus? Because that's going to be relevant, you know? So like you have the asteroid Pallas Athene pretty close to your Venus. And then you also have it really with your sun. So to me, Pallas Athene often shows up around patterns that have to do with like things related to an allegiance to a father, an allegiance to like the father side of the family or something like that. So because you have your son there as well, and I would say that the son does typically represent somebody's dad, that would be one of the first things that I would notice about your chart. And you have all of them in the sixth house of being of service. So this is a family pattern that isn't necessarily a negative family pattern either. Like sometimes when we think about family patterns, our mind automatically goes to this is a bad thing. But inherited family patterns can also be gifts. They can be things that are really a part of our purpose in life. You know, like when I started doing this work, I learned that my great grandmother was an astrologer and I have, you know, really closely tied inherited family patterns that were things that I was healing, but I also had this gift that I had inherited from her. So yes, I inherited some wounds from the way that she was as a mother, but I also inherited some gift. So for you, that could be like being of service. I'm like, you're all about, you know, self-help, you know? So there could be something that's inherited around that too, in that side of your family.
That is so fascinating. I mean, first of all, just to validate, like you nailed it. Family wounds are not always negative. Yeah. And you know, I had to really like reckon with my sixth house placements because we hear about the sixth house as not being a good place. It's like the joy of Mars, like not a place you're excited to have a lot of placements. And I had to kind of come to terms with the fact that like bad placements doesn't equate to bad life. It doesn't mean endless toil and hardship. It means maybe this is like there's something here for you, you know, and maybe it will cause some friction like Mars, but like that's what you're here to experience. And it's all for you. It's all good, even if it's tough.
Totally. I think that often I see people who have charts that have quote unquote, you know, good placement, like planets are in the right houses, they're in the right signs. And it's not that those people don't struggle, they do. It's the struggle is different. I think that when you have planets that are in challenging placements, like having Chiron in your ascendant is absolutely a challenging placement. And I have struggled a lot in my life with self-worth, feeling good enough, body image issues, body shame, And my relationship with my mom is relatively good, but we've had our difficulties throughout our life. But it's because of all of those experiences that I've had that I'm able to do what I do in my job, and why I was always able to really be very vulnerable in communicating with people, because I understood on this like really fundamental level that people are going through it like all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we all have, you know, this like shame, you know, shame in different ways. We don't all have it in the same area of our life. But I think that's the thing I specifically love about Chiron and the centaurs is we all have these wounds. We have them in different places. And it's really easy, especially in like the age of Instagram and social media, to see people online and think, oh, they don't have it as bad as me. And what astrology really helps us understand is everyone has something. Everyone has an area that they really find to be challenging in their life. And you never know what that is until you really sit down and you start talking to somebody. And as an astrologer, like I see people come in with charts that look, this does not look like a good situation. And you talk to them and they're making it work. They're making the most of those placements, and they often are able to find the gifts of those placements when they're in a more challenging position because they are forced to. They're literally forced to find the good in it. Whereas somebody who has a little bit of a quote unquote easier placement, their challenge isn't necessarily going to be that they're forced to find the good, but that they're forced maybe to see that they have something easier for them than that like wouldn't be easy for somebody else, you know? So they might not be able to recognize what is easy for them because it's just always been that way. And then they might not be able to see their gifts as easily because they just don't think that there's anything valuable about it.
Yeah, if there's no friction, tension, whatever, if there's nothing to go against, you kind of can't, you miss it. I feel like it's why easier transit, like we don't notice them a lot because it's just like, it feels good. There's nothing to notice, you know? I'm curious if someone came to you just for like a straight up birth chart reading, do you only like talk about family or ancestral placements if you notice them, if they ask for it?
Yeah. So this is an interesting question. At where I'm at in my business right now, because I've been practicing professionally for 3 years. And when I first started, you know, it was basically natal chart readings. That was what I did. And I wasn't really looking at, oh, what's your inherited family patterns and stuff like that at that point in time. But inevitably things would come up and I would take note of it. And I then really got focused on doing year ahead readings and forecasting for people. And I'm really, honestly, I'm just going to toot my own horn. I'm really good at it. The thing that was more interesting to me was that when I would do a year ahead reading, I would see, well, this is something that's going to be coming up in your life this year. And, you know, how's that going? And then I see like, oh, well, the sun is there. Like, well, how did your dad feel about that? Or what did you learn from your dad about this? And it was always really resonating with people. So it was actually through my forecasting work, more so than doing natal chart readings, that I started to really see the value of the ancestral side of things. So in my business, I would say I primarily focus actually on that and doing year ahead readings where I can bring in, these are maybe some of the family patterns you're going to be working on this year, which can be incredibly helpful for people in therapy because it gives them something to focus on. And then we also do what I call ancestral transformation sessions, which is where I don't do prep work. I don't sit down and write out, these are all the transits that you're going to go through this year. Because sometimes that can cause anxiety for people. They don't want to know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so for the people that don't really want to know that, but they want to dive into this ancestral side of their chart, I come to these readings with a very different agenda, which is, let's look at your chart. And I'm going to pull out the thing that I'm really noticing is coming up right now. And how does that connect to other things that I see in your chart? And then I actually do a longer program where with people over 4 different sessions, and we do a past life regression as well, so that we can see if there's a past life that is also related to this pattern. And then we work together with the chart, basically talking, you know, talking about the chart, talking about what I see that is really relevant to right now and give them something to focus on in their healing work at this moment in time.
I think that sounds like such a comprehensive healing experience. And like what I love about it is, I think sometimes when we're getting, you know, mundane forecasts, it feels very static. And like, we're just talking about this moment in time when the reality is this is all cyclical. This has all happened before. It's all going to happen again. And anything that's going to happen in the future is that there's a foundation of what's already happened. And so like, that's what you're offering with those offerings that you just talked about. And I love how you bring in, I mean, would you call past life regression hypnosis? I don't know if that's an accurate way of.
It's a form of hypnosis.
Yeah. I think that that is so, like, I want to do that. Like, I'm probably going to have to sign up. That sounds amazing.
It is really cool. And when I started this program, I wasn't sure because I'd done like past life regressions and I'd done the readings, but I hadn't done them within the same container. And it's been so fascinating to see people in their past life regressions. I honestly think go to periods of time when they were their ancestors. I've had people go to, I know, the like land that their family came from and doing things that would have totally made sense for people who were their ancestors to do, which kind of, I have a, you know, a theory basically that we are our own ancestors, that our past lives are our ancestors, and that there is this relationship between them. And I don't think that all of our past lives are necessarily our ancestors, but I definitely think that there's a correlation.
You know, I've sort of thought something similar just in my own works. I have looked at my family's chart, and I don't know how accurate they are because I don't have times, but I have days, and I have Mercury conjunct the North Node in Pisces, and so did my great grandmother. And I'm like, that's not a coincidence. Like, there's something going on there, you know?
It's like you will see that, you know. And I always tell people, you don't have to have your family members' charts. And even for people who are adopted, they don't necessarily know what their parents, you know, anything about them. You don't have to have your family members' charts to do this, because, like I've said, your family members are in your chart and they exist, you know, within you. But it is fascinating. I've done the same thing going back and looking at, you know, my grandparents, my great grandparents. I, of course, you know, being into what I'm into, have done all the genealogy and everything. Mm-hmm. And you'll see the same signs repeating in different families over generations. You'll see the same birthday even repeat in families over different generations. And I don't think it's random. I think that it is a part of the healing process that we all are a part of.
Yeah. And that's you bring up a great point. Like, if you don't have that information, which I bet most people don't, you know, how would a average person who's doing their like self-healing work through astrology and wants to get more information about ancestral patterns, where would they begin? What could they look to?
Well, I do have a workshop that I've done that's called Cycle Breaking Astrology, where I go more in depth over about 2 hours into a lot of the stuff that we're talking about right now, like different parts of your chart. And I share different example charts where I show actually how you can see one person's ancestor in their chart. And I've done different classes where I specifically look at like mother, daughter, like multi-generations, just to show that you can see all of these things within your own birth chart. So that's an option. I also would highly recommend Melanie Reinhart's work. I don't agree with necessarily everything that Melanie Reinhart has written, but her approach to working with Chiron and the centaurs has been absolutely foundational to the way that I practice astrology. And so I think that she's a great person to look into more.
I was curious. I meant to ask about that earlier. Having been studying Hellenistic astrology, I've been really focused on the traditional planets, and I don't know much about asteroids and things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I pointed out, you know, an asteroid in yours, Demetra George, has a whole book about asteroid goddesses. She's another really great one who I think brings in the asteroids, but is a traditional astrologer and, you know, does Hellenistic astrology as well. But yeah, there's multiple centaurs that I work with. Like, one of my favorites is Nessus, which is about patterns of being victimized. Another one I really love is Scirocco, which has been really present in what's happening in our world right now. And Scirocco is about our capacity to witness other people's suffering. And you actually have that with your moon in Gemini and the ninth house. So that also kind of could speak to your capacity to witness other people's suffering, like on a spiritual level, but there also could be themes related to the country that people come from, the nation that they originate from. And this could be related to your mother specifically. So that's just something I'm kind of like looking, because I've got your chart up right now. And that's actually going to probably become really relevant for you in the next 7 months with the Mars and Gemini transit. But each of these different centaurs, they represent different things, but it's not just the centaur by itself. Like, if you looked up, what does it mean to have Scirocco in Gemini? It would mean nothing to you. It's only when you combine it with the other planets that you can really start to make some meaning out of it.
That's super helpful. And then you would also, you know, and again, it's so much information already, but then you would add the layer of the planetary ruler. Mm-hmm. We know the planets represent, for example, Mercury, intellect, communication, things like that. How would you link Mercury as an example to ancestral patterns? Would that be like an ancestral pattern around communication?
It could be an ancestral pattern around communication. It could be one that I see a lot is people who have Mercury tangent to their sun. It might be a dad that came and went, or patterns around fathers that came and left, or, you know, and here again, not always negative. Maybe they were working. Maybe they had, you know, I have that in my chart. My dad was a truck driver. So yeah, he did. Well, he came and left.
Yeah. Yeah.
But actually, Liv Tyler has a fascinating chart. And I talk about it in that cycle breaking astrology class, but she didn't know that Steven Tyler was her father until she was like a teenager. And you can see it in her chart that she had these two different father figures. And I can't remember, but I think it was that Mercury represented one and the sun represented the other. So like Mercury represented more, I think, Steven Tyler, and the sun represented the person who she thought was her dad throughout her life. But of course, they could also be interchangeable. So with Mercury, and you could have the same thing with like Mercury conjunct your moon. That could be a mother that came and left, or patterns around a mother that comes and goes. Mercury conjunct Venus could be patterns around money that is coming and going. Here again, not always negative. That could be somebody who comes from a family that is in commerce. And so there is money that's exchanging repeatedly. And Mercury conjunct Chiron, that might be an inherited wound around communication, around expressing yourself, something like that. But here you would have to also take into consideration the house that it's in.
Absolutely. If you do have access to your family's charts, let's say, and you notice there's something, right? Like you have the same placement, or another example is like, one of my sisters and I, it's sort of hard to explain. My son is at 23 Pisces. Her Mars is at 23 Pisces. Her sun is where my Mars is. So basically, each of our sun and Mars are conjunct, right? So like, if you notice something like that, like, where do you go from there? Like, how do you begin to unravel what that might mean?
I mean, one of the first places I would look for that would be the Sabian symbol. What's the Sabian symbol? 23 degrees Pisces. And how does that relate to a pattern? How does that relate to a theme? Something that is really embedded into our family. You could also think about the deacon that are in, and what planet is the ruler of that deacon. I don't know off the top of my head for Pisces, because I don't either. Much, but those are a couple things that if I saw that come up twice, that would definitely be something I would look at.
That's smart. Yeah. And I think we forget, because we only really hear about really the signs. I feel like the signs are so heavily talked about in like astro pop culture that we forget there's all this other stuff, all these other tools, right? Like there's more than one perspective. There's more than one way in to like going deeper with these things. And something I keep thinking about. Everything you're saying is reminding me that like all of it is just like a door. Like it's all just a way in, and your reflection, your thinking about it is what's really going to help go deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. I always tell people when I start working with them, but especially when I start working with them on ancestral transformation, is that all of these symbols can mean many different things. And they can mean many different things at different points in your life. And so I'm just telling you some things that this would make me think of. These are the archetypes. These are the characters and what these characters might mean within a story. And with the asteroids and the centaurs, like these are the patterns that might be attached to that character. And so how do you see that show up in your life? Do you see that show up in your life? Do you not see that show up in your life? And really, it's your chart. It's your life. You're the expert on it. Because I've had this experience when I've gotten readings from other people, like I talked about. Chiron conjunct your moon. Oh, you must have a bad relationship with your mom. I mean, almost every astrology reading I've ever had from another astrologer, some version of that is said, like, what's wrong with mom? And I'm like, it kind of makes me like, oh, am I missing something about my relationship with my mom? Am I like not seeing clearly? And it's like, I am seeing clearly. It's that there's more underneath this that you are able to grab at because you're looking at a very surface level of what you understand about what those symbols mean. But ultimately, I have to be the one who comes to understand what those symbols mean in my life. And somebody else can't give that to you. I can only hold the space for you to figure it out.
Exactly. I've had readings too where, yeah, it felt like it was not a dialogue, essentially. And it's hard to allow any insight to develop when it's, you're just being told, like, here's what it is. And it's never, even though we're looking at a static image, it's never static. It is always growing and changing, like you said. And I love that that's your perspective. I feel like that's so expansive and helpful. Like, it's not helpful for someone to be like, all right, all of your shit in Pisces is squaring your shit in Gemini. Good luck. Like, it's right. So I just really appreciate your perspective, and it's given me a lot to think about. So I'm excited to keep learning from you and to keep like digging into this, because I think there's so much for us to unpack. And really, like, I think one of the most valuable things about what you do is you help us understand how connected we are to other people. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes astrology can feel like this, like self, I don't know, like it could be perceived as a self-serving sort of egotistical thing. But I feel like what you're sharing is, hey, here's how you're a part of the whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually love to have that reflected back to me, because really early on in my astrology career, I got a reading actually from a very well-known astrologer. You probably heard of him. His name is Colin Bedell.
And oh, shit. Yeah.
Colin was like, if you want to be an astrologer, you should focus on relationships. And I was like, I don't know anything about relationships. I'm bad at them. And he was like, people will come to you to learn about relationships and they won't even know why. And so when I first started, I was like, okay, maybe I should be like a relationship astrologer and do synastry readings and that kind of thing. And I did that for a while. And I do synastry readings, which is where you're looking at two people's charts together. And I actually really learned astrology through reading relationship charts, which is kind of interesting. That's like what really helped to make it click in my head. But coming from a background of working in environmentalism and the intersection of like agriculture and environmentalism and social justice, my perspective has always been about ecosystems. How do we relate within an ecosystem? And so I'm not actually really that interested in one-on-one relationships. I'm more interested in the ecosystem of relationships that exists around us all of the time, and the power within that ecosystem, and where there's imbalance within the ecosystem. And when we apply this to the conditioning in our own mind, which we can see through our chart, how am I maybe giving one part of that ecosystem, one person within that ecosystem, greater weight in the way that I make decisions and the way that I perceive the world, where there's all of these other parts that also have a voice and I maybe haven't listened to them. And I maybe need to let that part of me have a little bit more weight, have a little bit more of a stage to work on so that I can create a little bit more balance within this entire ecosystem within myself, because ultimately that's what's going to create a healthier ecosystem for the entire collective.
That's a perfect thesis for why self-help isn't selfish. That, yep. Like, I've been trying to say it like that. That is what I mean. That's so spot on.
Yeah, self-help. I totally feel that, though. When I was growing up in the 90s, you'd see people go to self-help section of Walden Books, and there's like so much shame. Oh my gosh, I'm in the self-help section reading self-help books about relationships because I don't know how to do relationships and like all of this kind of stuff. And when I started reading self-help books, I'd like hide them, you know, like, oh, I don't want anyone to know that I'm reading these self-help books. But ultimately, self-help is collective help. You know, there's really no way to create healthier collective ecosystems without each of us individually doing our part.
Period. Well, you mentioned some incredible workshops that people are going to want to sign up for. So I'll definitely link those. Where can people find you and what are you up to that people can get involved with?
Yeah. So ashgravity.com is the hub for everything. And then I'm also at ashgravity on Instagram. I do classes all of the time. I'm teaching every single month different classes, but I would definitely recommend, I have a free workshop called the Earth Ancestor Reunion, which if all of the astrology stuff feels overwhelming, Earth Ancestor Reunion is a great place to start because it requires no knowledge of astrology. It's a facilitated connection to an ancestor that comes from the land, the physical land that your own ancestors come from. So that's free. People have had amazing, amazing experiences from this workshop, and it's not me. It's all just channeled from my own ancestors. So that's a great place to start. I am always bringing people into ancestral transformation. So different sessions, if you want to just try it out. And then I also do have my longer program. So I am enrolling in that right now throughout the fall of 2022. And then my cycle breaking astrology workshop is on the homepage of my website always. So that's a great place to start. And then I have other classes where I go even deeper than I do in that intro.
I love your offerings. I feel like you're always offering new things. Like, how are they doing this? Like, it's awesome though, because everything is something I want to do. I actually bought your Unbirthday Party workshop. I got it for later because I'm super indecisive, like Pisces, Gemini energy. Like, I never know what I want. And I was like, I'm going to need that. So I got it for later. But yeah, I'm excited to take a look and to join you on some of these because I feel like you're, I was going to say, I feel like you're doing the Lord's work. That's like not at all what it was. I'm going to have to edit that out. This is really important work. That's what I want to say. Super important work. So thank you for doing it and for sharing your time and your expertise with us.
Yeah, I love being on this podcast. This, like, what you're doing is also so much my jam. And, you know, I put out more offers this year than I ever have, but it's really just fueled from me feeling so much like this is it. This is what is up. And I just want people to have these experiences because it's changed my entire life. And I just really want to facilitate that transformation for other people.
Hell yeah, you're doing it. So thank you times a million for this time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, everybody, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Don't forget to check out Ash's work on ashgravity.com. Ash also has a new free offering called Reading Your Inner Family. This is a free experience on how to use tarot to access your deeper feelings and really just use tarot for deep healing. So definitely check out that free offering. They've got other incredible offers as well. That's ashgravity.com. Don't forget to get the birth chart blueprint as well. This is a completely free guide to understanding what the hell your birth chart means with my 3-step process to how I actually read charts. You can get that at selfhelpwitch.com/BC blueprint. And if you want to be notified of when my Black Friday deals are being offered, what the details are, you can go to selfhelpwitch.com/Black Friday and sign up to be notified of those details as well. Until next time, I love you. Keep going. Peace out.